This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Michaela Longari. How are you, Michaela?
I'm good, Chris. Thanks for the invite. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're here in Wine to Wine in Veneto, or Verona, really.
Yeah.
Verona. It is Veneto as well.
It is,
Verona.
Yeah.
And really, what we want to talk about today is Prosecco.
Yeah.
Prosecco, the sparkling wine from Italy, the dominant sparkling wine from Italy. But you work for a company in the UK, strangely enough. I've come all the way to Verona. And you're in
it's funny,
yeah? Yeah. Who do you work for in London?
Yeah, so I work for Hay Wines. It's a small independent wine merchant and importer based in Ledbury, Herefordshire. And actually, since the very beginning, we have always been very much focused on Prosecco, because obviously it's such an important wine for the UK. And we try to, you know, become a specialist in this wine.
Yep. As a specialist in the wine. Oh, you've done some wine qualifications as well. You've done the...
Yeah, so last July, actually, I took the exams to become Italian wine ambassador with Vinitaly International, and the exams went well, so I'm actually now Italian wine ambassador with Vinitaly International in the UK, which is, I'm very proud of this, because obviously I'm Italian, I moved to the UK 10 years ago, but still, obviously I'm very passionate about Italian wine, so is I've always been an ambassador anyway, not formally, but now it's nice to be formally an ambassador for Italian wine in the UK, so it's also very nice to do this kind of talks when I'm able to, no, explain a little bit more about Italian wine.
Lovely. Perfect. So we're going to talk about Prosecco, but, just to set the scene, Prosecco, sparkling white wine, now rosé as well.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a turn up a couple of years ago. Main grape variety Glera, but we'll talk about that. And made to what's known as the tank, or some people call it the Charmant
method, or in Italy, Martinotti method.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I think some people call it the Charmant Martinotti method as well.
Yes,
because Charmant was a Frenchie, wasn't he?
And was an Italian engineer, and obviously, so in Italy, we tend to use the word Martinotti to describe that production method, and otherwise in France, they use the Charmant method, but basically, it's exactly the same. And to be honest, I think that technically this method was born almost at the same time, and it was probably complementing each other. So actually Martinotti came up with the invention, was an engineer with the invention of the actual tank, able to, you know, use this kind of very high level of pressure to make the bubbles.
Yep.
And so it's just in terms of what, but using tank method, Charmant, Martinotti method, you are describing exactly the same production method, which means that you have a primary fermentation where you actually make the base wine. In this case, we have normally a Glera base wine. And then you have a secondary fermentation where you add the yeast and sugars, and you put the wine in these huge stainless steel tanks where you have a secondary fermentation in a closed environment. So the carbon dioxide products by the alcoholic fermentation is trapped in the wine. And you get actually the bubbles in this way. And compared to the traditional method, the Champenoise method, where you have this secondary fermentation inside the bottle. So it's a much more cost-effective way to make a sparkling wine. And also, I would say, a method that is perfect for grapes like Glera, the Prosecco grapes, where you want to preserve a lot of the primary fruity aromas of the grape. So one of the secrets of the success of Prosecco is the fact that you have a focus on the fruity, citrus, apple, pear notes, and you wouldn't have this kind of notes if they use a different method. So this is why I want to underline that the Martinotti or Charmant method is essential to make a good quality sparkling wine like Prosecco from a semi-aromatic grape.
Yeah, and the other thing that the traditional method, which is what people use in champagne or whatever, a lot of the flavors you get are actually from the winemaking process, you know, that bready, biscuity, brioche-y thing. That's just yeast decomposing in the bottle, really.
Yeah.
Whereas this is holding on to the flavors, although I see a lot of Proseccos with a lot of pear flavors, and I always associate that sort of pear flavor with super cool fermentation. Sometimes people like pear drop is a flavor that can be induced in a wine from a lot of really cold fermentation. Yeah. So I always think of Prosecco maybe having a little bit of that sort of fermentation aroma, that fruity fermentation aroma. Yeah. The esters.
Yeah. I mean, it's I think that part of the success of Prosecco is the fact that, in particular on the nose, there are a lot of aromas that are quite easy to identify, even for people that are not wine professional or maybe are just occasional wine drinkers. And then, yes, obviously, from a technical point of view, the winemaking went towards stressing out this kind of flavors and aromas. But I must say that the Glera grapes, quite naturally, they're able to produce this kind of pear and white apple aromas anyway. So actually, the winemaking just went towards highlighting even more these natural aromas from Glera.
But it's not just Glera that's making these type of wines. You see Sauvignon Blancs being made in it, Charmant, Martellotti. I'm just going to call it the tank method.
Yes.
The tank method is really good for aromatic styles of wines. The Germans do a lot of sparkling Riesling using the tank method.
You know, yes.
Their classic sect that you get from Germany is made using this type of method.
And actually in the UK, there are a few producers now starting to make Baccos with the tank method, because it's obviously a semi-aromatic grape that is actually perfect to make sparkling wine with this method. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, I want to come back to some of the sort of weird things that go on during the tank method process. But let's just start off with a wee bit about Prosecco itself, because Prosecco has changed so much, and whether it was always like this and had this level of complexity, or whether they just added it or made it official in the rules in the last 5-10 years, I'm not sure. But first of all, where is Prosecco?
Okay, so Prosecco is a sparkling wine made at the moment. So talking about the Prosecco DOC, that is the Prosecco that is easier to find on the market. The Prosecco DOC at the moment is made in two regions of northern Italy, Veneto and Friuli Venezia Giulia. So we are in the northern eastern part of Italy. And is one of the so-called macro-regional appellation, because we have an appellation divided into different regions. But actually this is something that happened around 2009-2010, because before that Prosecco was only made in the province of Treviso. So actually we were in Veneto, and not just all Veneto, but just a small province near Treviso. And more in detail, and here we go in the DOCG, Prosecco Superiore Appellation, near the city of Valdobbiadene, between the cities of Valdobbiadene and Conegliano. So probably the first question that people ask is why we have a DOC Prosecco including two different regions, and then we have another DOC Prosecco that is including just the province, so the Prosecco DOC Treviso, and then we have a DOCG Prosecco Superiore that is even a smaller area. So the answer to this question is just that obviously the markets demanded for Prosecco to become more widely planted in Italy, because obviously since the beginning Prosecco had a huge commercial success. Obviously the one of the most important things was the cost compared to other sparkling wine. Was a very cost-effective product. But then also, as I mentioned before, the flavors and the aromas of Glera are very easy to recognize and actually make a perfect easy drinking fit for everyday drinking. So actually, this made all, in particular the export market, became very passionate about Prosecco, and from that moment the regulators had to find a way to actually increase the production volume. So this is why they expanded the DOC production area into different regions. But I want to underline that instead the DOCG area is has always been the same. So this has not been expanded like the DOC one.
Okay, I must admit, I always thought the 2008-2009 expansion was partly so that they could include the town of Prosecco, So that it was a bit of a con by Silvio Berlusconi.
Yeah, so actually, you are touching a very controversial point.
I don't think it's controversial.
So basically, they found they were able to solve two different issues at the same time. So from a marketing commercial point of view, was an ingenious move. Obviously, there are a lot of people that are have quite harsh critique against this, because obviously at the same time they made a product that was once a regional local product in something that with a different identity. So they included this town called Prosecco that is actually in the Carso area, very close to the border with Slovenia.
Miles away from the traditional.
Miles away. And actually, it's a town where they didn't make Prosecco. They are not making Prosecco nowadays. They make
just one producer.
Only one producer. Like, and so completely different story. And in this way, they were able actually to use the European regulation in order to connect a wine with the name of a village. So in this way, they were able to make sure that the name Prosecco could only be used in Italy. Because obviously, back then, Prosecco was the name of the grape variety. So in theory, someone from Australia or Argentina, wherever in the world, they could have taken the Prosecco variety, planted in Australia, and then make Prosecco sparkling wine, the same.
In fact, they did. They were doing that.
And then this was stopped because obviously at that moment this was tied up with the name of a town, and then they changed the name of the grape variety from Prosecco to Glera, and the name of the wine became the name of the town. So in this way the word Prosecco, the keyword Prosecco, could only be used in this part of the, in this very small part of the world. And obviously this is quite controversial because in particular
it was shifty mate, let's not call a spade a spade.
And there are a lot of producers around the world that obviously were not happy about this this move. Again, I want to clarify that this was something that was very much connected to the DOC part of the Prosecco. And once again, for instance, the Valdobbiadene, the Prosecco made in Valdobbiadene on the label doesn't even have Prosecco on the label. It's Valdobbiadene normally. Then on the back label you have Prosecco Superiore, but for instance, also producer from Valdobbiadene and Conegliano, they were not happy about this move, so they decided to avoid using the word Prosecco, and they are much more happy if you use the word Valdobbiadene to describe their Prosecco. Don't know if this makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, so that sort of explains why it's got such a large area. Bunga Bunga Belstioni, man. All right, so it's a multi-regional wine.
Yes.
Or it can be a multi-regional.
Yeah.
Veneta and Friuli Giuliana.
Yeah.
Friuli Venezia Giuliana.
Giulia, yes.
The key grape you said was Glera, but yeah, it doesn't have to be 100% Glera.
No, no. I mean, in particular, for, let's say, the Prosecco DOC and the commercial brands, it's very easy to find Glera blended with other grape varieties. And you can have up to 15% of other grape varieties in the blend, and the wine can still be named Prosecco. But I must say that even just in the DOC Treviso subzone, normally producer, they only use Glera, and in Valdobbiadene, the Prosecco DOCG appellation, I mean, I never found a producer blending Glera with anything else. Unless you find a producer that are very much connected to the history and the tradition of Prosecco from Valdobbiadene, and they blend Glera with indigenous varieties like Pereira or Bianchetta, for instance, that are indigenous grape varieties that were always used in the blend with Glera. But I would say that the more you go towards this kind of artisan Prosecco, Prosecco made from small producer, and the more you're likely to have in front of you varietal Glera. Yes, 100%.
Although the wine that you see a lot of that is a blend of Glera is Rosé Prosecco.
Yes, yes.
Because that has to have...
Yes, I think it's between, 10-15%. And normally the red grape variety used to make the Prosecco pink is Pinot Noir at the moment. So, and again, I want also to underline that the pink Prosecco, the Prosecco Rosé, is only allowed in the DOC appellation, so the macro regional appellation. You are not allowed to make Val d'Obbiadene Prosecco Superiore Rosé because you are not allowed to use Pinot Noir in that region. So this is something actually that was obviously a product invented for the market, is clear, because after the success of the Prosecco DOC White, they decided to add the opportunity for producer to make the Rosé Prosecco. And at the moment, all the products I've tried, they basically always use Pinot Noir to make the wine.
Are they allowed to use other grape varieties?
Yes, they are, but so far, I haven't found anyone attempting anything else than Pinot Noir, because obviously, first of all, Pinot Noir is perfect to be blended with Glera because it has a little bit of structure, and also it complements a lot the aromas, the white fruit aromas of Glera with a bit of fried fruit, so actually it's perfect. And the other thing is that since, I must say, Prosecco Rosé was mainly invented for the export markets. Pinot Noir, obviously, is a great variety that is very popular in the export market. So they are allowed to use other grape varieties. And actually, you will be able to make Prosecco DOC Rosé using even red indigenous grape varieties. But at the moment, I think nobody is so adventurous to try anything else than Pinot Noir, actually.
But those Rosé Proseccos, they've done very well in the UK market.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Do you have any sales figures for that?
No, I don't have the actual figures because, to be honest with you, we only started to have a Rosé Prosecco in our portfolio a couple of months ago. So, actually, we had only a few weeks sales, and the only reason why obviously we added the Prosecco Rosé was because the market, there was a clear demand for this kind of product. And for us, like for any other small independent wine merchants, it's very important at the same time to have what your customers are asking for, but at the same time so to make sure that you're always offering something that is authentic and a genuine product. So personally, since I am the person in charge of picking all the wines coming from Italy, as you can imagine, my main concern was to make sure that pink Prosecco was not just a trend, a temporary trend, but actually was something with some basis. And I think this is something that is going to go ahead in the long term, actually, because there are producers starting to make something very serious about it.
Let's talk about the different regions and sub-regions of Prosecco. Next week we'll talk about the winemaking a little bit more, but the regions and sub-regions. So you've touched on that there's Prosecco DOC.
Yeah.
And a lot of those wines comes from Treviso.
Yeah.
And then the other sort of smaller area is it
Trieste, yeah.
Trieste.
Yeah. So Trieste is a city in Friuli Venezia Giulia, and more in particular in the sub-region of Giulia. So we are in the basically just a few miles from Slovenia. And Trieste is actually where you have the small town of Prosecco. And the difference between the Proseccos made, we are more on the west side, we are in Veneto, and more on the western part of the Prosecco DOC appellation. And Trieste, that is actually in the eastern part of the Prosecco DOC appellation, the styles tend to be slightly different, because obviously in the Prosecco DOC made from vineyards in Veneto, you tend to have a bit more structure, you tend to have, because there is a different soil that tends to give more structure, and you have a more, let's say, continental and climate. While in that part of Friuli Venezia Giulia, you have a more extreme climate because you are much closer to the Adriatic Sea, and also you are much closer to the Alps at the same time. So actually you have a much poorer soil, so less fertile, with more minerality as well, and also more extreme growing condition during the summer. So actually the styles tend to be slightly different. What I can say is that generally speaking, all the producers, they tend to maintain this a winemaking style that is easy to recognize. So if probably producer in the eastern part of the DOC appellation, they tend maybe to add a bit more sugar to balance the acidity, so it's much easier to find maybe the extra dry, while probably in Veneto, yes, you still find the extra dry, but also you start to find also the brut or the extra brut as well.
And but most of the wines come from Treviso, don't
yes.
they? That must be, what, 80% of the production or more?
Yeah, because obviously it's the historic province of Prosecco, and Treviso is actually the province around the cities of Valdobbiadene and Conegliano, where you have the DOCG appellation, and it's... I would say that the Prosecco DOC is, so the macro appellation is something that was made mainly for the supermarkets because you need a lot of volumes. But then if we are talking about the on-trade market, off-trade, and the small independent shops, I think normally you find the Prosecco DOC Treviso. So a Prosecco DOC from the sub-region, the sub-appellation of Treviso. And personally, I think it's much more interesting. So when we talk about Prosecco, I really like to talk about, at least from Prosecco DOC, Treviso, because for me it's very important to give an identity to wine in general.
You see Treviso on the label then?
Treviso must be on the label. So this is something very important for wine consumers. So you know you are drinking a Prosecco DOC from Treviso because on the label, normally even on the front label, they put the name of the city of Treviso on the label. And this is obviously something that producers from Treviso, they want to do because it's very important for them to make sure that they differentiate from the wider DOC, the general appellation.
Okay. In terms of a hierarchy, Prosecco DOC,
yes.
Prosecco Treviso
yeah.
DOC, Valdobbiadene, Conegliano, DOCG.
Yeah.
But there's another one as well, isn't there? There's Oslo.
Asolo DOCG. Yeah, Asolo DOCG actually is... I would say an up-and-coming appellation for Prosecco. So, as you correctly mentioned, if we think about the pyramid of Prosecco, we have the Prosecco DOC, this Prosecco made into different regions, very high volumes. Then we have the Prosecco DOC Treviso. Then we have the Valdobbiadene and Conegliano Prosecco Superiore DOCG, so a much smaller area. At the same level of the pyramid, now we also have the Asolo DOCG. It's at the same level of the pyramid in terms of quality level because we are talking about a DOCG wine. So compared to the DOC, there is something more in terms of quality and yields per hectare. So it's completely different. But in terms of volume, it's a very small appellation. So actually, you have, I think, the Valdobbiadene and Conegliano DOCG appellation is around between 6,000 and 7,000 hectares, while the Asolo DOCG is only a couple of thousand of hectares of vineyards. And it's an up-and-coming appellation because I think the Prosecco style from Asolo DOCG is very intriguing for a lot of people because in Asolo they have, compared to the Valdobbiadene appellation, they have different growing condition and a completely different soil as well. So the Prosecco DOCG made in Asolo, they tend to be a bit more structured, rounder in body, smoother probably compared to Valdobbiadene that is much more focused on freshness, acidity and minerality.
And you say Valdobbiadene and Conegliano, but the wine region technically is called Valdobbiadene and Conegliano, but you see wines labeled just as Valdobbiadene,
yeah.
Sometimes you see them labeled as Conegliano
yes.
Sometimes. So whilst the region has two towns,
yeah.
And that Valdobbiadene and Conegliano is normally between the two regions, sometimes they just put one on the label, and that's perfectly acceptable.
Absolutely, and actually not only is perfectly acceptable, but is something I think is very important, because also in the Conegliano and Valdobbiadene appellation, even if it's a much smaller area compared to the Prosecco DOC appellation, the Prosecco from Conegliano and the Prosecco from Valdobbiadene, they are completely, completely different. Not only in terms of growing condition, but also in terms of winemaking style. So I would say that for people that are very much intrigued by minerality and freshness, Valdobbiadene is the place to go, because actually It's a fantastic place to visit as well as a wine tourist, because recently Val d'Obbiadene has been awarded the UNESCO Heritage Site Award. So actually the hills of Val d'Obbiadene are amazing. It's actually an amazing place to visit. And you can just spend the entire day visiting small producer, because literally you have in a radius of maybe 1 mile, maybe you have 20 or 30 different producer, each one with maybe just 2 or 3 hectares of vineyards, making just a few thousand of bottle. And it's just amazing. And in terms of style, Conegliano also tends to be a bit more structured in body and rounder, because has less extreme growing condition compared to Val d'Obbiadene.
Okay. The other two things you see on Prosecco bottles, the high-end Prosecco bottles, from time to time, is the word Rive.
Yeah. So thinking about the pyramid of Prosecco we were describing before. So once we have reached the level of the DOCG appellation, so Val d'Obbiadene, Conegliano and Asolo, one step forward we have the Rive Prosecco. So the Rive Prosecco are Proseccos made only in the DOCG appellation. And the word Rive locally means slope. So basically we are talking about a single vineyard Proseccos. So basically, normally you have the word Rive and then a name of a small village or town. So for instance, you can have Rive di Soligetto, Rive di Refrontolo, and basically it means that it's a DOCG Prosecco made from the vineyard on the slopes of the town of Soligetto or the town of Refrontolo. Why is this very important? This is very important because, as you can understand, we are moving towards a crew-based way of seeing Prosecco. So it's not like in the DOC Prosecco appellation, where actually you can have a vineyard in Veneto, a vineyard in Friuli, and actually you are absolutely allowed to blend the grapes coming from vineyards that maybe are 50 miles between each other. In this case, we have the Glera grapes coming only from a single vineyard near a specific village. So the Rive Proseccos are extremely interesting for wine fanatics or enthusiasts, because you can actually see the identity of each single of the Rive Prosecco, and you can have really tasty many interesting things. So for instance, I was talking about the Refrontolo Rive and the Soligetto Rive. I used them as an example, but actually for instance those Rives are I would say the opposite end of a spectrum. So you have the Soligetto Rive, where you have Proseccos that in maybe in slightly warmer vintages, they can even touch notes of like tropical fruit. Ripe tropical fruit is quite intriguing. While the Refrontolo, that normally is, you have vineyards in facing northeast and northwest, you have a very mineral vertical style of Prosecco. So actually those are the Prosecco that maybe you can even age in the bottle for 5, 6, 7 years and then have vertical tasting, very intriguing vertical tasting. So yes, the Rive Proseccos are the so-called single vineyard Prosecco, and at very, very, very top of the pyramid we have Cartizze.
Yeah.
Cartizze is a small hill. It's around 1 hectare of vineyards in total, in the center of the Val d'Obbiadene DOCG appellation. And it's a unique place to visit, because basically, just to give you an idea, there is 1 hectare of vineyards in total in the hill of Cartizze. And there are, I think, more than 100 producers in Cartizze. So it means that on average, they own less than 1 hectare of vineyard on this small hill. Why is Cartizze the top of the pyramid? It's the top of the pyramid because basically this hill, in terms of soil and topography, has a unique condition. So if you go there, actually, and you visit a vineyard in Cartizze, the soil is completely white. You don't have any kind of organic matter. It's just basically rocks and minerals.
Limestone or?
Yes, it's mainly limestone, but then There is also marle, and it's a very there is a lot of diversity in the composition of soil in Kartice. What is very important to underline is that the growing condition for vines here are extreme. The roots of the vine, they need to go very deep in the ground, and so they have very, very low yields per hectare on the Kartice hill, meaning that you have a much more concentrated and deep style of Prosecco. And what is very important here is that you have a minerality and acidity that is very high, and so traditionally it's very easy to find Proseccos on the Kartice made in the dry style that, although I know in English means not sweet, but actually dry is sweeter than extra dry, and actually it means that the wine can have even around 25 or 30 grams per liter of residual sugar. And this is something, when you taste a very good quality Kartice, you can understand that this residual sugar is left only to balance perfectly the minerality and the very high acidity that the wine have. And you have something that is completely different, because you have all the aromas that obviously is easy to recognize. Nice Kartice as a Prosecco, because it's made from Glera, and as I mentioned before, you have some aromas that are very easy to recognize. But then, let's say, is a much more concentrated and deep version of the aromas and flavors we are used to find in Prosecco.
Excellent. Okay, I think that's a really good example of the hierarchy of Prosecco. I think we'll wrap it up there, but next week I want to start talking about some of the different winemaking techniques that are used in Prosecco, because we said it's all tank method. It is, but there's a lot of variations on that tank.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Cheers very much.
Thank you. Thank you.